The Chimney Sweeper's Boy, written by Barbara Vine and read by Francis Barber.
He wanted a family of his own. He was very young when he understood this, 15 or 16, because he was accustomed even then to examining his thoughts and searching his soul. He corrected himself, deciding that what he wanted was a family to add to his existing family. Children of his own. He imagined giving his brothers and sisters children to love, and giving his children uncles and aunts. His dream encompassed them all living together somewhere, in a big house, the kind that they had never known. He was old enough to know how unlikely this was. A little later on, he understood that it is not acceptable for men to feel like this. Few men do. Women want children, and men agree. Or if men want children, it's to carry on a name or inherit a business. He wanted them because he loved being one of many and wanted to add to that number. Friends were not very important in their lives. Why have friends when you have family? Many things he felt and thought were not acceptable among men, not right for a man. For instance, if he were to found that family, a woman would be a prerequisite. He knew the pattern, how it should be. He must meet a girl and fall in love, court her, become engaged to her, marry her. It seemed unsurmountably difficult. He liked girls, but not in that way. Without knowing much, he knew what he meant by that way. Kissing, touching, all the things they talked about endlessly, monotonously at school. Those others longed to do such things to girls. Some said they had. But he clearly understood that for him to do it, even to get to the point of doing it, would be an endurance test, a labour comparable to taking an exam in French, his worst subject, or taking part in a hated cross-country run. How did he also know that it would not be the real thing? Gerald Candless, Less is More. Chapter 1. It is an error to say the eyes have expression. Eyebrows and eyelids, lips, the planes of the face, all these are indicators of emotion. The eyes are merely coloured liquid in a glass. A messenger of the gods. Not a word to my girls, he had said on the way home from the hospital. My girls, as if they weren't also hers. She was used to it. He always said that, and in a way they were more his. I'm not hearing this, she said. You're going to have major surgery and your grown-up children aren't to be told. Major surgery, he said. You sound like staff nurse Samantha in a hospital sitcom. I won't have Sarah and Hope worried. I won't give them a day of hell while they await the result. You flatter yourself, she thought. But that was just spite. He didn't. They would have a day of hell. They would have anguish. While she had a little mild trepidation. He made her promise. It wasn't difficult. She wouldn't have cared for the task of telling them. The girls came down as usual. In the summer they came down every weekend, and in the winter too, unless the roads were impassable. They had forgotten the Romneys were coming to lunch, and Hope made a face, what her father called a square mouth, a snarl, pushing her head forward and curling back her lips. Be thankful it's only lunch, said Gerald. When I first met the guy, I asked him for the weekend. He refused? Sarah said it as if she were talking of someone turning down a free round-the-world cruise. No, he didn't refuse. I wrote to him, asked him for lunch and said he could stay at the hotel. Everyone laughed except Ursula. He's got a wife he's bringing. Oh, God, Daddy, is there more? He hasn't got kids, has he? If he has, they're not invited. Gerald smiled sweetly at his daughters. He said thoughtfully, we might play the game. With them? Oh, do let's, said Hope. We haven't played the game for ages. Titus and Julia Romney were much honoured by an invitation from Gerald Candless, and if they had expected to be put up in the house and not have to pay for a room at the Dunes, they hadn't said so, not even to each other.